Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep.
All right, team. Today we are tackling rectal cancer.
Exactly. Rectal cancer questions are very high yield. So let's walk through how this shows up on exams and how to think like a surgeon.
Let's start with a classic exam scenario. A 65-year-old man presents with a few months of rectal bleeding, alternating constipation and diarrhea, and a persistent feeling of needing to pass stool, what we call tenesmus. Workup reveals a mass located 8 centimeters from the anal verge. Biopsy confirms adenocarcinoma, and a pelvic magnetic resonance imaging scan shows the tumor invading through the rectal wall and involving nearby lymph nodes. Mars, what stage are we typically looking at here, and what is the key initial management step?
This is a locally advanced rectal cancer. The symptoms, bleeding, altered bowel habits, and tenesmus, all point to rectal pathology. On imaging, invasion through the rectal wall is a T3 lesion and lymph node involvement is N positive. So this lands in stage 2 or stage 3 disease, depending on the exact TN combination.
Perfect. And what local staging modality is absolutely critical for rectal cancer, but less emphasized for colon cancer?
That would be pelvic magnetic resonance imaging or an endorectal ultrasound. We need very precise local staging here because the rectum sits inside the tight confines of the pelvis. The circumferential resection margin, or radial margin, around the rectum is a major predictor of recurrence risk.
Great. So pelvic magnetic resonance imaging, or endorectal ultrasound, is mandatory to know how deep the tumor goes and whether lymph nodes are involved. That is already one big shelf distinction from colon cancer.
Exactly. Colon cancer staging can usually rely on a computed tomography scan of the chest, abdomen, and pelvis, but rectal cancer needs that detailed local mapping.
All right, let's zoom out and define what we are dealing with. The diagnosis is rectal adenocarcinoma. Rectal cancer is defined as a tumor within 15 centimeters of the anal verge. Mars, where does the rectum begin and what key anatomical structure surrounds it that surgeons must remove?
The rectum begins at the rectosigmoid junction and ends at the anal rectal ring. Surrounding it is the mesorectum, that is the perirectal fat containing lymph nodes all wrapped in fascia. Surgically, we remove this entire package in an operation called a total mesorectal excision, often shortened to TME. Getting that TME plane right is crucial for achieving clear radial margins and lowering local recurrence.
Absolutely. And here's a high-yield anatomy and pathophysiology pearl. Rectal cancer has dual venous drainage. Why does that matter for metastases?
Great question. The upper rectum drains into the portal system via the superior hemorrhoidal vein, so those tumors behave more like colon cancers and go to the liver first. But the middle and lower rectum drain into the systemic circulation via the middle and inferior hemorrhoidal veins. That systemic drainage means tumor cells can bypass the liver and head straight to the lungs. So in rectal cancer, the lung is a very common site of distant metastases.
Exactly. So for metastatic workup, we check a computed tomography scan of the chest, abdomen, and pelvis, and a baseline tumor marker called carcinoimmunoembryonic antigen, or CEA. And again, magnetic resonance imaging is the gold standard for local staging of the primary rectal tumor.
So to recap this part, rectal location is defined by distance from the anal verge, rectal tumors live inside a tight bony pelvis, we care deeply about the mesorectum and circumferential margin, and there is dual venous drainage with a special love for the lungs.
Now that we know what rectal cancer is and why the anatomy matters, let's talk treatment and algorithms, because that is where the shelf lives. Treatment depends heavily on stage. Let's start with the most common exam setup, locally advanced disease, like the T3 N-positive patient we opened with.
For locally advanced rectal cancer, that means T3, T4, or node-positive disease, the initial approach is neoadjuvant chemoradiation. The goals are to shrink the tumor, improve resectability, lower local recurrence, and hopefully preserve the sphincter so the patient can avoid a permanent colostomy.
The classic regimen is radiation to the pelvis combined with chemotherapy using 5-fluorouracil, usually called 5-FU, or a related drug such as casdatine. Surgery is then performed about 8 to 12 weeks later, once the tumor has had time to respond and shrink.
Nice. Now, what about early-stage disease, like a small superficial T1, N0, M0 tumor? How do we think about that?
If it's a small, well-differentiated mobile T1, N0, M0 tumor that meets strict criteria, clear margins, no lymphovascular invasion, and superficial invasion only, you may be able to treat it with a local transanal excision. But most T1 or T2 N0 lesions still go straight to surgery with TME, without radiation, because nodal risk is higher once you get deeper invasion.
Exactly. So for early superficial tumors, maybe local excision in a very carefully selected case. For most T1 or T2 tumors, you go to surgery with TME. For locally advanced or node-positive tumors, you start with neoadjuvant chemoradiation, then perform TME.
Now let's talk about the big shelf question. Which rectal operation do you choose? The key deciding factor is how close the tumor is to the anal sphincter and dentate line. So, Chris, if the tumor is in the mid or upper rectum, generally more than 2 centimeters above the dentate line and not invading the sphincter, what surgery do we perform?
That is a low anterior resection, or LAR. We remove the involved rectum and mesorectum and then reconnect the proximal colon to the remaining distal rectum with an anastomosis, often with a stapled connection.
And what if the tumor is very low, within about 2 centimeters of the dentate line or invading the sphincter muscles?
Then you can't safely get a distal margin and still preserve sphincter function. In that situation, we perform an abdominoperineal resection, or APR. That removes the entire distal rectum and anus, including the sphincter complex, and the patient ends up with a permanent and sigmoid colostomy. On exams and in real life, oncologic margin and local control take precedence over sphincter preservation.
Exactly. Trying to save the sphincter when the tumor is too low is not the right answer on the shelf. The safe answer is abdominoperineal resection with a permanent colostomy.
Then, after surgery, if the patient had stage 2 or stage 3 disease, we usually recommend adjuvant chemotherapy to mop up microscopic disease.
Right. Common regimens include FOLFOX, which is folinic acid, fluorouracil, and oxaliplatin, or FOLFIRI, which is folinic acid, fluorouracil, and irinotecan. You don't need every drug name for the exam, but you should recognize these as standard adjuvant regimens.
Okay, we have the main algorithm. Let's talk about some high-yield traps and complications that the exam loves. Mars, what's the biggest, scariest complication associated with a very low rectal anastomosis after a low anterior resection? And how do we protect the patient?
The low colorectal or coloanal anastomosis has the highest leak rate of all gastrointestinal anastomoses. The pelvis is tight, blood supply can be marginal, and prior radiation doesn't help. To reduce morbidity if a leak occurs, we often create a temporary proximal diverting stoma, usually a loop ileostomy.
Perfect. Next pitfall, distinguishing rectal adenocarcinoma from anal cancer. If a patient has a mass at the anal verge and the biopsy shows squamous cell carcinoma, what is the primary treatment?
Do not choose surgery as your first-line answer. Anal squamous cell carcinoma is treated primarily with combined chemoradiation, known as the Negro protocol. That uses 5-FU, mitomycin C, and external beam radiation. Surgery with abdominal perineal resection is reserved only for salvage if chemoradiation fails.
So if you see anal verge plus squamous cell carcinoma, think chemoradiation first, not abdominal perineal resection.
Exactly. Rectal adenocarcinoma, surgery plus or minus chemoradiation. Anal squamous cell carcinoma, chemoradiation first.
Before we wrap up, let's lock this in with 5 high-yield facts that are perfect for the shelf.
Let's go.
Number 1. Rectal cancer requires mandatory local staging with pelvic magnetic resonance imaging or endorectal ultrasound to assess depth of invasion and lymph node involvement. That's different from colon cancer, which relies more on computed tomography.
Number 2, locally advanced rectal cancers, T3, T4, or node-positive disease, are treated with neoadjuvant chemoradiation first, followed by surgery with total mesorectal excision.
Number 3, the choice between sphincter-preserving low anterior resection and permanent colostomy via abdominoperineal resection is determined by the tumor's distance from the anal sphincter. In general, you need at least a 2-centimeter distal margin to safely preserve the sphincter.
Number 4, because of dual venous drainage, rectal cancer can send metastases directly into the systemic circulation, which makes the lungs a very common site of distant disease, sometimes even before the liver.
Number 5, if there's a mass at the anal verge and the biopsy shows squamous cell carcinoma, the primary treatment is chemoradiation with the NEGRO protocol. Surgery is reserved only for salvage, not as first-line therapy.
All right, team, keep studying. We'll see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later.